Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the beginning of my fourth week of teaching on a subject that I've entitled Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. This is kind of like a major revelation and doctrine that God has given me that, boy, just is like an anchor that holds everything else in place. This is really important. If you've missed any of this, I encourage you to please get our materials. If you've heard all of it, please get the materials because you need to go over and over and over this. You don't hear grace and faith balanced very often. And I believe that this is just a tremendous revelation that has changed my life. I've got a brand new book out on it, a hardback book that is an expanded teaching on this living in the balance of grace and faith. And so please take advantage of these materials. Today, I'm going to begin my fourth teaching in a five-part set on living in the balance of grace and faith. And today, I'm going to talk about entering into God's rest. And this is taken from Hebrews chapter 4. And what I want to do, basically, I've already made a bunch of the points about that grace is God's part, faith is our part. Grace is something God did for us before we ever had a need, and it's complete, it's finished, it's over. Faith doesn't make God do anything. Faith only appropriates what God has already provided by grace. That's what I've been talking about for 3 weeks, and I've just made this point over and over and over and tried to use illustrations that, like a tap, at the sink, where the water comes out. When you turn the tap is not when the water starts coming. The water was already there, but it is held back by that valve, and you have to open that valve, and then what was already there comes out. So the water in the pipe would be like grace. That's what God's already provided. And turning the tap is your faith. It just releases what God has already done. And so I've used a lot of different examples. Here is a scriptural example of what I'm talking about. And if you can get this, this has really ministered to me and really helped me. So in Hebrews chapter 4, in verse 1, it says, "Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." You know, I'm not going to take time to develop this, but if you were to think about this, this is the same thing I've been talking about. God had called them out of the land of Egypt, and it was something that he did by grace. It was something that he did. They weren't the most deserving nation. He even said this. He says, "Don't think that I set my love upon you because you were the mightiest or the holiest or the best." It wasn't because of how good they were. It was how good God was that he chose the nation of Israel. And he called them out and he had everything planned that they could enter into the promised land. But they didn't mix what God had planned for them with faith, and therefore they fell short. And the actual people who came out of the land of Egypt never entered into the promised land. Their children did, but all of them died in the wilderness because they didn't mix it with faith. Now, God, by grace, see, has provided salvation, healing, deliverance, prosperity, joy, peace, all of these things for us, but not everybody accepts it because not everybody has mixed it with faith. This is exactly what we've been talking about. And look at this in verse 3. This is really powerful. It says, "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said." And then it's a quotation from the book of Psalms, "As I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." Now, let me just say right up front that I'm reading out of the King James, and you know, this is really wordy, and it's a little bit misleading, and it takes some effort to get it from the King James. But if you read this in any other translation, it really simplifies it. All this is talking about is, he says, that there is a rest for the people of God. He goes on and says that in just a couple of verses. We'll be reading that. And this is, first of all, for you to get this, one of the things that kept me from understanding this passage of Scripture for a long time is because when I think of the word rest, I think of being tired. And like you go out and you work all day long, and so you just pooped and you lay down and you rest because you're tired. But you know, it says that we are entering into His rest. And then, I'll read these verses in just a minute, it talks about that when He created the heavens and the earth, He rested on the Sabbath day. When God rested after creating the heavens and the earth, it wasn't because He was pooped. It wasn't because He was worn out. It wasn't like if He created one more earth, one more moon, one more star, He just was going to pass out, and so He had to lay down and rest. No, it's not that kind of a rest. It's a rest like when a painter paints a picture, you know, and he works on it for days or weeks or whatever, and finally he looks at it, and if he puts one more brush stroke on it, it's going to ruin it. It's just perfect. It's complete. And so he rests from his labor, not because his hand is tired from holding the paintbrush, not because the paintbrush is so heavy. He rests because it's complete. It's done. Or you could say it's the same thing as like when a lawyer, you know, presents his case and finally it says, well, the defense rests. Does that mean that he was worn out? Does it mean he was tired? No, it's just talking about that he's through. It's complete. It's done. So when the Lord rested after creation, it wasn't because he was tired. It was because he was through. It was complete. And then we are now entering into a rest. This isn't talking about that this is a place where you can just lay down and go to sleep and do nothing and things work automatically. As a matter of fact, in this exact same passage of Scripture, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but let me read this to you. It says in verse 11, "Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest." See, most people, when you think of the word rest, you're thinking about you're just going to sleep, you're doing nothing, you aren't laboring to rest. But this isn't talking about a rest in the sense that some people use. It's talking about you are entering into an area where everything is complete. What I'm talking about, grace and faith, you are entering into a rest where God, by grace, has already done everything. And you know what? You have to labor to do that kind of rest. It takes effort. A renewing of your mind to get to a place to where you aren't only looking in the physical natural realm, but by faith you are saying in the Spirit, I've got the same power that raised Christ from the dead. God loves me. It doesn't look like it. Right now, things in my life are falling apart. It looks bad, but I rest in the fact that God loves me. And you have to labor. It takes a renewing of your mind. It takes turning off as the stomach turns on the television and some of the sports and some of the things that you want to occupy yourself with. And it takes diligence and effort and labor to rest in the Lord and not revert back to just being a carnal human being. So this is what it's talking about. Let me read this again in verse 3, Hebrews 4:3. "For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works." That's in Genesis chapter 2. After the creation of Genesis chapter 1, it says God rested, not because he was tired, but because he was through. It was complete. It was perfect. He couldn't add to it. Then in verse 5, it says, "And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest." Now, that's a quotation from Psalms chapter 95. And David came along approximately, I had this figured out one time, I forget now, but it's somewhere around 2,500 years after the creation of the earth and after the fall. Actually, that's after the fall of man. It doesn't tell us exactly from the creation until the fall. But from the fall of man, somewhere around 2,500 years afterwards, David was writing and said that there is a rest for the people of God, and fear lest you fail to enter into this rest. So he's making this point that God rested on the seventh day after creation, and yet here it is thousands of years later that David is saying, if you enter into his rest. And he talks about, the reason he points this out is because people have symbolized, or they have taken analogies from the children of Israel coming out of the land of Egypt and then entering into the promised land, and they say that you're entering into your rest, and the Scripture even says that. But he's quoting David hundreds of years after the Israelites had already inhabited the land of Israel, saying that there was still a rest. Here David was, hundreds of years after the Israelites had taken possession, talking about that there is still a rest for the people of God. So his point that he's making is that this wasn't fulfilled when the Israelites occupied the promised land. This is a spiritual thing. It's talking about a relationship with God, and it's still available to us today. And he says we should be careful that we take full advantage of this, that we enter into the rest of the Lord. So anyway, let me just summarize some of these things, because again, in the King James, this is really wordy. Here's what he's saying is that there is a place you can enter into the Lord where you are not trying to make God do things, but you are resting in what has already been provided by grace. And he compares this to the Sabbath rest that God took after creation. So let's just go back. I'm not going to take time to turn to these scriptures, but I'm sure many of you are familiar with this. In Genesis, the first chapter, God created the heavens and the earth. And then he began to create everything in steps and stages. He created all of the trees and the plants and the grass. And let me just read an excerpt to you as an example of what I'm talking about. It's very specific, the way that the Lord created these things. In Genesis chapter 1, he said in verse 11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." Now, you know, that sounds really awkward. Why didn't God just say, let there be grass, let there be trees? Because, see, if he would have created things that way, then he would have had to have kept creating grass and trees and things, because those things would have eventually died. They would have blown down. Something would have happened. The cows would have eaten the grass, and he would have had to have create new grass. But the way that he spoke it here, this is really important. There is so much more in this than what I have time to say, but some of you may not understand the power of words, but words are important, and the Lord didn't waste words. The way he said this is very specific. He said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself. By the way that he spoke this and created these things, he not only created the original grass, the original herbs, original trees, the original fruit, but he gave them the ability to procreate. He mentioned about seeds. He established the law of seeds. And see, because of this, the Lord hasn't had to create new grass, new trees, new fruit since the original creation. He created it with the ability to procreate. He did the same thing with the animals. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. He did the same thing with people. And he gave us the ability to be fruitful and multiply, and God established these laws of us being able to reproduce and have children and have, you know, animals have babies after their kind, grass have produced more grass and all of this. Now, this is important. I'm not just saying this. The reason that all of this is so important is that when God created these things, it was so complete the way that he did it that, you know what? He rested. Not because he was tired, but because it was done. God doesn't have to create grass, trees, fruit, or people, or animals today. Now, God is involved in the process. It talks about in Psalms 139 that he knows all of our parts. They're all numbered in his book before we're even formed. I'm not saying that God just wound the earth up and is gone and is not doing anything. God is overseeing things, but he isn't creating animals, people, trees, things like this. He started the original creation and gave us the ability to procreate. And so, if you look at it in this sense, it shows you that when he rested, it was because it was done. The Lord didn't have to wake up this morning and say, well, let's see, we got to have 1 million new cows to keep the balance going. We got to have 10 million new trees. And he doesn't get up and create trees. He already created the original creation, and it is continuing to function. He has done everything perfectly. So when it says that He rested, it is really descriptive of what He did because everything was so complete that it's done. He anticipated the needs of this earth thousands of years ago. And it doesn't matter how many people get on this earth. It doesn't matter how much fossil fuels there are or whatever. Did you know that this earth is able to absorb whatever goes on? The oxygen that was on the earth with Adam and Eve, them the only people. Did you know God created enough oxygen on the earth to sustain right now 6-something billion people that are alive on the earth right now? All of the minerals, all of the resources, all of the water, everything that it takes for billions and billions and billions of people to live. God hasn't created new oxygen and new minerals. All of this was anticipated by God. He did it, and He hasn't had to get up and create a single thing since. He rested, and He hasn't done anything about His creation since then. And you know what? There is a direct parallel between that and our salvation, that through Jesus, He anticipated everything you would ever need. He provided forgiveness of sins, healing, deliverance, prosperity. It's all done, and He has now rested. According to Hebrews chapter 10, I believe it's verse 12, it says He is seated on the Father's right hand. The significance of that is He isn't up and down working and doing things. And when you need to get saved, He doesn't have to come and die for you for your sins. No, He did that 2,000 years ago. When you need to be healed, He doesn't have to take stripes on His back so that you can be healed. No, that was done 2,000 years ago. If you need joy and peace, He doesn't have to touch you and do something. He's already put within you the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, and peace, all of these things, it's already done. He is seated at the Father's right hand. And we need to enter into a place to where we could rest the way that He does. And when the doctor tells you you're going to die, instead of thinking, oh, God, you've got to do something. You've got to touch me. You've got to move. Oh, God, please stretch forth your hand. Oh, God, please help me. No, what you need to do is rest. And say, Father, thank You that You anticipated all of this. You've already provided it. By Your stripes I was healed, and I refuse to get out of my faith. I refuse to get into fear. I refuse to start thinking that You've got to do something. I've already got this power on the inside of me. And you rest in the fact that by His stripes you were healed. Now, in order for you to rest like that, it may take a lot of effort. You may have to get into the Word of God. You may have to fast and pray. You may have to shut off some of the stuff that has been feeding you all of the doubt and the unbelief. And you may have to put forth some labor to rest like that. But this is descriptive of what you need to do. Let's go back to creation again and look at this. When God created Adam and Eve, when did He do that? It wasn't on the first day of creation. And yet, according to Scripture, we can see Psalms chapter 8, and there's a number of other places, talk about that mankind is the crowning jewel of God's creation. It's really the most important part, that the earth was created for us, that we were supposed to subdue it and occupy it. Contrary to the way, you know, in the last days, it says in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, that people would call good evil and evil good, that they would be perverse, everything would be backwards. And today we have people that look at mankind as if we are the cancer on the earth and that we are destroying the earth and that, you know, the snail darter is more important than these people and everything is perverse and backwards. But no, mankind is the crowning jewel of God's creation. We were created in His image. And as great as the earth is and the animal kingdom and all of these things, I'm just amazed by it the more I know about it. But mankind is still the crowning jewel. But God didn't create us first. You know why He didn't create us first? If He would have created Adam on the first day of creation, he would have been in total darkness. And he would have had to tread water for a few days until there was some ground to stand on. And then when God started causing the trees to come, they didn't just grow from little seeds. He said, let there be trees. And boom, they were instantly trees. Adam would have been standing there dodging trees and dodging mountains and dodging boulders. And then all of these animals were created. You know what? Things weren't ready for mankind yet. There was a progression. God created the heavens and the earth, and then He said, let there be light. And then He had the waters go into one place and the dry land appear. And then He created the grass and the trees and all of this. And then He created the animals. And then on the sixth day, and you've got to remember that in the Jewish custom, the way things were, the way that it was started in the Bible, it says the evening and the morning were the first day. Time was reckoned from sundown until sundown the next day. We do it from midnight until midnight, but they did it from sundown to sundown. So a day began with sundown, went through the night, and then through the next day. So it was the sixth day, and I believe it was during the daylight part of that sixth day that man was created. And it was towards the end of that sixth day because He had created the animals and brought them to Adam to see what He should name them. So it was towards the very end of this sixth day period of creation that mankind was created. Now that's significant because what that says is that God created everything that Adam would need first. And then once Adam was created, immediate rest. And man, Adam, entered into God's rest, where if he needed food, he didn't have to say, oh, God, please provide me with food. No, God had already provided it. The bananas were there. The fruit was there. It was already done. All he had to do was reach out and take it and say thank you. Man, I don't know if you're getting this, but it's a great illustration of grace and faith. God had already provided the oxygen. He had the perfect temperature. He had the beautiful scenery. He had the food. He had the water. He had the nice grass. God anticipated everything that Adam, the whole human race, could ever need, and He provided it first. That's grace. That's God's part. And then Adam entered into a place where God didn't just intravenously put it into him. If Adam got hungry, Adam didn't just sit there and open his mouth and God feed him. No, but God created everything that he needed, and all Adam had to do was reach out and pluck a banana and peel it. That's something. He was doing something, but he didn't make the banana come. The banana was already there. He just had to take it and peel it and say thanks. And see, that's the way that it is. God has anticipated everything you will ever need. He's already healed you. He's already delivered you. He's already given you everything that you will ever need. Does that mean it's going to automatically come to pass? No, you have to rest. You have to learn to believe what God says instead of what you feel, instead of what the doctor says, instead of what the news is saying about the recession. You have to stand on the Word of God, and it takes faith. And sometimes you have to labor to have faith. But all you have to do is really just rest in the fact that God's already done it. And when you do that, there is your supply. Man, that is powerful. You know, I've got a lot more to share about this. I'm going to be talking about this all week long and explaining this, hopefully saying it so many different ways that you're going to get it. But this is a powerful, powerful truth. This teaching entitled Entering the Rest is really powerful. I'd encourage you to get it. I've got this brand new book, the study guides, CDs, DVDs. Please listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can receive all of this, all of these materials, and call or write today.
Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith is available for the very first time in book form. You can receive a hardback copy when you send a gift of any amount. Request book T228 when you write or call or when you go to our website. A Spanish paperback version is also available. Request book T737. The Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith Companion Study Guide is available for a gift of $35 or more. Request study guide T428 when you contact the ministry. This five-part teaching was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1064C or DVD album T3208D. You can also get Andrew's teaching as seen on TV by requesting DVD album T1064D when you send a gift of any amount. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The fourth teaching in the CD album titled Entering the Rest is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this fourth CD free of charge. Request teaching number TA26C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. Our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Canadian viewers can now make tax-deductible donations through Andrew Womack Ministries Canada. The address is at the bottom of your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
I know that God was speaking to many of you today, and you realize you haven't entered into that place of rest where you are just trusting what God has already done by grace. You know, you can get these materials by calling in, and we'll be able to rush them to you, so I encourage you to do that. But as you call, also remember that, man, we have some of the greatest people that I know of answering our phones. I mean, some faith giants, people who love God. We get tremendous reports. So if God has spoken to you today and you just need some help entering into that rest of God, not only request the materials, but request prayer. Let someone pray with you. And I believe it'll be a blessing to you. We have the number on your screen, so call today and request prayer.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar November 12th through the 14th and in Phoenix, Arizona for a Gospel Truth Seminar December 31st through January 2nd.
I want to give you a special invitation to join me in Phoenix, Arizona. We have struck a deal with the Arizona Biltmore Resort. It's a four-diamond resort that starts, the normal room rates start from $300 and go up from there. And we've negotiated a price of $139 for this special New Year's celebration. They're going to give that price for 3 days before and 3 days after. So you can come and enjoy a vacation in a first-class resort, plus get the Word of God. Remember, it's our New Year's Gospel Truth Seminar in Phoenix, Arizona.
For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
So this isn't talking about resting in the sense that you're tired or worn out. It's talking about that you cease from trying to get God to do something. You cease from trying to work and make this happen because I've done this. And so you are laboring to make God move instead of just resting in the fact that God, you've already provided it.